In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
My name's John. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are really glad that you're here with us because today we are going to do an entire sermon series in one day. It's a series called Thankful Now, and it is today, and then it's over. The reason we're doing this is we're thinking about thankfulness, right? This week we had Thanksgiving, Happy Thanksgiving. We get to start now saying Merry Christmas to people because it's December. I'm excited about that. But one of the things around thankfulness is I think we kind of miss what thankfulness is really about. I think we get the wrong idea about thankfulness. And so today we're going to approach things a little differently. We're going to have the service look differently than what you're used to. We are going to read from God's word, and then we're actually collectively going to take time and respond to God's word together. And we're going to do that three different times. So I won't be up here for a really long period of time. I'll be up here for a short time, and then we'll respond, and then a short time, and we'll respond, and a short time, like that. So we've got these three different movements of the service. Just want to make you aware of that. And the reason we do that is because I think it's very easy for us to come here and to sit and to sing songs and not really think about why we're singing the songs. And to hear the word of God and to not really engage with it. Maybe we talk about it in the car on the way home, but that's about it. And then it's sort of over. What we want to do here is we want to say this word of God is real and it's alive and it's powerful and it's active and it changes our perspective. It changes the way we see things. And so because of that, we want to look at God's word and then we want to respond. And that's the pattern that we want to follow for our whole lives, right? That when God gives us his word, that we respond to it, we act accordingly. And so we're going to look at three different passages of scripture, and they're all around this theme or this idea of thankfulness and gratitude, because I think that that really is a key piece to who we are. And I think it's a key piece to who God is and how he wants us to respond. So today we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open up there. If you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you to take a Bible. We have them here for you for free. We want to give you a Bible. We've got them at the welcome desk. If you're here and you don't have a Bible, man, we want you to have that because it is God's word. It's true. And I would hate for you to leave here without having that. And if you have a Bible, I want you to read it because it's good and just open it up and it's just like a regular book. It works like that. And you open it, you read it. And when we do that, man, we start to take in what God has to say to us. And I really do believe that this is what I'm one of the things I'm most thankful for is the word of God. So let's not take that lightly. Before we get into that, though, I started thinking about this thankfulness piece. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, how does this apply to us here at LifePoint? Because we always talk about our mission, right? Our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. That's what we want everybody to do. And the goal of that is that we would become Christ-like influencers. And we say that a Christ-like influencer is characterized by these five things, right? That a Christ-like influencer surrenders continually, loves extravagantly, invests relationally, gives generously, and engages with God daily. But what I noticed is that none of those things, none of those characteristics are possible without gratitude. If we don't approach God from a place of humility and gratitude and thankfulness, then we can't do the things that he's calling us to do. We can't live in a Christ-like manner. If we are complainers, if we are whiners, we can't be a Christ-like complainer. We can't be a Christ-like whiner. Because when we complain, when we whine, when we're ungrateful, right? Those things come from ungratefulness. When we're ungrateful, then we're not walking in the way that God calls us to. So I want us to take a look at what Paul has to say in 1 Thessalonians 5 about how we should see, because I think if we really see who God is and we can thank him for who he is, then it's going to affect our perspective on everything else in life. So check out what he says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, I want us to notice something here. He says, always, without ceasing, and in everything. That means all those things are happening all the time, right? Always, without ceasing, in everything. So that means there's rejoicing, there's praying, there's giving thanks that's happening all the time, simultaneously. We can't separate those things. So there's an element of gratitude that has to be present in all those things. So we think about it. What does it mean to rejoice always? This doesn't mean that you're a grinning idiot who's just happy about everything that happens. It's like, oh, my dog died. Yay. Like, we don't, that's not what it's about. It means that there is a joy that's internal and is not circumstantial. That the joy is not determined by what's outside of us, but it's determined by something that's inside of us that's greater than us, and that is God and his Spirit working inside of us. There's a real joy that's based in a hope beyond ourselves. And so that's what it means to rejoice. It means that no matter what circumstances happen, I don't lose hope. I don't slide into despair because I'm rejoicing always that God is good and who he is. Then the second thing there, he says, pray without ceasing. But how do I do that? How do I pray without ceasing? Does it mean I'm on my knees with my eyes closed? Like, how do I drive my car like that? What does it look like? So what he's saying is not that either. It's that we pray, meaning we constantly acknowledge who God is and how good he is in every circumstance we face. In every part of our day and everything we go through, we're acknowledging God. Now, the Hebrew people where Paul came from, they had this practice where every day they would try to do this. They would try to acknowledge God in every way. And so they'd wake up in the morning and they'd say, "Blessed be the Lord God of heaven and earth, who puts breath in our lungs and enables us to get up out of bed." And then they'd walk outside and it'd be raining and they'd say, "Blessed be the Lord God of heaven and earth, who makes the rain fall and the crops grow. Blessed be God." And then something bad would happen. They'd say, "Blessed be the Lord God of heaven and earth, who makes life and makes death and judges us for eternity, and he holds the future in his hands." And so they would see every opportunity that they could to thank God, to acknowledge God. And that's what he's saying when he says, pray without ceasing. And so you start to see there's this joy that's outside of ourselves. There's this prayer that's acknowledging God outside of ourselves. And then he says, in everything, give thanks. Well, how do we do that? I can't give thanks when things don't go my way unless I trust that God knows what he's doing. I can't give thanks unless I'm trusting that God is in control. And that's what I think gratitude does. He says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That this is what God wants for us. Do you get that? That God has a perspective that he wants you to have. He wants you to see the way he sees. He wants you to get his point of view. And when you get it, when you understand it, then you start to see your circumstances differently. And that's what he's calling us to here. And it all is tied to this concept of gratitude. Because I think what gratitude does is it positions us to see from God's perspective. When I have gratitude, when I'm in this place of thanking God for who he is, not just for what he gives and not for the thing, I mean, we thank him for those things too, but I'm thanking God just because he is and he's consistent and he's my hope and he is faithful and dependable, that's the God that I'm thankful for. And in that gratitude, I humbly come to him. I say, God, I can't do this. I need you, guide me. And I humbly am grateful and I'm positioned to then see the way he sees from his perspective. That's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for you. So I pray that you would understand that gratitude. And in that, I want us to remember this, is that we can and we should thank God right now for who he is. Whatever your circumstances are, whatever difficulty you're facing, whatever, you know, holiday drama just happened this past week or is gonna happen in the coming weeks and you're dreading, whatever that is, we can thank God right now for who he is. And that's what I want to encourage us to do today, is not to wait. Let's not wait. Let's not put it off and be thankful until things go our way, and then we'll be thankful. Let's be thankful right now. Let's be thankful for who God is. And so what I want us to do is, now that we've heard God's word and how we've heard that we can be thankful now for who he is, I want us to respond. And so the way that I want us to respond together is we're going to sing together. And when we sing this, I want you to think about that idea that our gratitude has positioned us to see from his perspective. Can we see from God's perspective right now as we sing this song? So I want to pray for us that we would do that and that we would sing sincerely. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us the truth of your perspective. God, that we can only do all these things. We can only rejoice always and pray always and give thanks always. We can only do those things in every way when we have your perspective and we're coming from a place of gratitude. So I pray that we would be thankful, and that as we sing right now in response to that truth of how good you are, that we would sing your goodness and we would mean it and be sincere about it. So we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
seated.
The way that we're going to respond to God's word in this section is by taking communion together. And to get us ready for that and to get us started thinking about that, I'd like for us to actually have the elements in our hands and be thinking about what they represent and just start to consider that. So we're going to invite the ushers to come on down, and they're going to start passing out the elements for communion right now. And while they're doing that, I want you just to take it, hold it, don't eat it or drink it yet, but just hold on to those things. And while they pass that out, we're going to keep diving in and looking at this passage of scripture that we're going to see here. As we're considering being thankful now, we've seen that God positions us for his perspective when we have gratitude. Gratitude puts us in that right position to see God's point of view on all these things. And so when we see God's point of view and we get his perspective about who he is and how big he really is and how he's in control beyond what we think, then here's what we're going to do, is we're going to start to see how that carries over into what we should focus on. So that gratitude positions us to see God's perspective, but that perspective then is going to point us in a particular direction. And so to see that, I want us to take a look at Colossians chapter 3. So if you're in 1 Thessalonians, you can just flip backwards one book. You look at Colossians chapter 3, and this is what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. So check this out. It says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Now, there are a few things here that I want us to notice, and so we've highlighted some words on the screen here. I want you to check this out. The peace of Christ, to which indeed you were all called in one body. That's something for which we should be thankful. Do we think about the peace of Christ as it relates to his body, the church? Do you ever think the church is not just this building, but it's the people who have gathered together for a purpose all over the world? That the church is actually God's plan? And it's full of imperfect, messed up people. But God, in his perfect wisdom, has created this thing called the church as the way that he wants to promote the gospel, the way that he wants to make disciples of all nations. God's plan is the church. And then he says, as we consider the church, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I think there is a lot of unnecessary division that happens within churches. I think there's a lot of unnecessary division that happens that is not very peaceful. And here, Paul is calling us as followers of Jesus to be peacefully ruled by Christ in our hearts, in the way that we would interact with one another in one body, because we were all called to that one body. So I want us to keep that commonality in mind there, okay? The second thing he says is this, and this, I love this verse because I love the word of God. And it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Like, man, do we get what that is? The God who spoke the universe into creation, that God spoke in this thing called the Bible, his word, and he gives it to us. And he says, don't just let it sit on a shelf and collect dust, but open it up and read it. See the word of Christ and let it dwell richly within you. And then what happens when we do that? Look at what he says. With all wisdom, we teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When's the last time somebody came up and just sang to you? It doesn't happen a whole lot, right? Are we so thankful for what God has done, who he is, that we would just sing? You know, I think about my sons. I have two sons, and they'll sometimes play in their rooms, and when they don't know that I'm listening, I'll go up and I'll listen at the door, and they just sing songs to themselves about nothing. But they're just in there, they're just singing because there's this joy in them and they're just happy. And I think, man, if we know the God of the universe and his word is richly dwelling within us, how can we not sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God? That's the way we should be. I would love for us to be singing to one another. I know that would freak some of you out, but I would love to do that. I'd love for us to be able to say, God is so good and we just want to sing about it. I want to share wisdom. I want to teach and admonish. And we want to do this with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God because it's overflowing with gratitude for how good he is. He's perfect. He's good. And he gives us his word and it can richly dwell within us. And then look what he says. So whatever you do in everything, right? In word or deed, whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever action you put your hands to, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, do you catch that? It's through him, Jesus, that we have access to God the Father. It's through him that we can be thankful. Jesus is the focus of our gratitude. Do you get that? Look what he says. It's the peace of Christ. It's the word of Christ. It's all that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul's painting a picture here of his united church under his word for his glory, the glory of God, his church, his word, his glory. That's what he's saying. It's all his name, the name of Jesus. That's what we're elevating. That's what we're lifting up. And so we say, this is what we want to be thankful for. This is what our lives should be overflowing with. We want to be thankful to who God is, and we want to be thankful for what he does, because I want you to hear that what he does is he gives us new life. He comes in the flesh. I hope you hear this is the gospel. This is the good news. We say that word gospel, and it just means good news, that we were far off from God. We're created for relationship with God. That's what we're all made for. And in being created for relationship with him, we get stubborn and we think we can do things our own way. And so we reject God and we try to do things our own way and it separates us from him. And then there's the sin in our lives that distances us from God for all of eternity. And we're separate from him, but he promises to redeem his people. And so he appears in the person of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and he walks among us and he dies for us so that we can have right relationship with him. He dies so that his blood can wash away our sins. And then he rises from the dead so that we can have new life in him. So that we can be new creations in Christ and old things pass away and new things come. And that's what he calls us to. He says, I want you to experience this new life and be thankful for that. Understand, that's the gospel. I hope that you hear that today. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I pray that you hear this is the only way that you can be fulfilled. There is nothing that satisfies in this world but Jesus Christ, because we're made for relationship with God. And when that relationship is severed, Jesus is our only way to connect with God. Jesus is our only way for relationship. So we give thanks through him to God the Father. And that's what he's saying right here. It's all about the Lord Jesus. So as we've gained God's perspective from this grateful position, right? Our gratitude puts us in position to see from God's perspective. Our gratitude also points toward God's passion. You think about this. Maybe you grew up in a church tradition where the events leading up to the cross were referred to as the Passion of the Christ. You know, there was that movie that came out, The Passion of the Christ, a few years ago. Like that whole concept, the passion, that for which we're willing to suffer. He says, here's what God is concerned about. He's concerned about the cross. He's concerned about Jesus. And that's what that whole passage in Colossians points to, is the word of Christ and the peace of Christ and the name of the Lord Jesus. If we're pointing toward Jesus, then the perspective God gives us is to point toward Jesus, his passion. That's our purpose. And that's why we take communion. That's why we do this. Jesus instituted this practice of communion as something that would unite believers. It would put us together, and we would all take this together, and we'd remember this piece of bread as representing Jesus' broken body, because it was broken for us so that we could have right relationship with God. And then we take this cup because it represents his shed blood for us so that our sins could be washed away and we could have that right relationship with God. And then he says, I want you to do it together in remembrance of me. So we remember who Jesus is, and then we connect as a church body. Now, here's the way we're going to do this today is there are section leaders all throughout here. You didn't know you were sitting next to a section leader. There are section leaders right now that are going to lead each different section in our auditorium in the practice of communion. That way it doesn't feel quite so massive. It's gonna feel a little more intimate. I think it's kind of cool. What we're gonna do is we're gonna have these section leaders walk you through communion. And as we do that, I want you to keep this in mind. We've said that we can be thankful right now for who God is. I want us to be thankful right now for what God does. That he gives us his son Jesus, and he gives us his Holy Spirit, and he gives us new life in him. He saves us by faith in him. And that's what we celebrate in communion. That's the gospel. So I want to pray for our time right now, and then your section leader is going to stand up and lead your section where you're sitting through communion. Father, thank you for how good you are. And thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel, for making it all about Jesus. And thank you that we get to celebrate that right now and remember your sacrifice for us. And we remember your unity of the church that you seek. I pray that we would be grateful and that our gratitude would see from your perspective and point us to your passion in Jesus Christ. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name.